month has come and gone. February, an extended February, is coming to a close, and we are now ready for a February recap. Caleb Allen, Austin Martin here for another monthly recap episode of our podcast. And Austin, it's been a month. Once again, I say this every time. A month of ups and a month of downs, and we had both talked at the end of the January recap about wanting to have some more bright things to talk about. We do have some positives, but we're coming off some couple really rough negatives for some of these teams.
Yeah, for some of these teams, and I mean, and like especially basketball. Going into the end of that podcast, we did talk about the upcoming schedule.
Yeah,
for the Colorado State men's basketball team, how it has probably the biggest challenges in the middle of February.
Yep,
and that lived up. We hit that one on the head, but it's kind of obvious too. You're looking at it, you're playing San Diego State. Yeah, a lot of really good teams in a loaded conference, so it was a lot of up and downs for a lot of programs too. Some programs though, all ups.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the ups real quick. We'll get a little deeper, I guess, into some of the bads, but let's start with Swim and Dive. They just wrapped up their season last week. The Mountain West Championships took place, and this is a team that wasn't at all slated to be, you know, a top three team, but that's what they got. Third in the Mountain West as a team, and just a good showing for the entire squad. I think some of the coaches were doing some analytics and looking at where they kind of projected, and fourth was best case scenario for the Swim and Dive team to kind of get on, and they got third. They made the podium as a team for the Mountain West Championships when it comes to Swim and Dive, and a big win and a monumental win for the future of this program.
Yeah, that was probably one of the bigger events that this Swim and Dive team has had to face, and they overcame it, and it especially lately too. I just want to get this out too. We haven't been able to talk about it or whatever, but you know, keep your families close. Tell your loved ones you love them. It's a Wyoming Swim and Dive team. They had a very tough weekend, losing three of their competitors, Charlie Clark, Carson Muir, and Luke Slabber. Just a terrible incident that happened. Those three athletes passed away, and it was nice to see. This is what you love about sports. Like, life is a lot bigger than sports. Sports is something that you go to get a release, and just seeing our swim and dive team pay homage, you know, pay respects to those that were lost, even if we were, you know, there are rivals in Wyoming, and just showing that love. And it was a tough week just for the swim and dive community. And also when it is sad too. Like, it hits home, man. It's close to home. Those are people that they competed against.
Some of those kids are from Fort Collins too.
Exactly. And it's a tight-knit community too, and it's just something that you hate to see. Yeah. And to be able to go out there and compete like that, just a lot of respect to a lot of programs out there, and Wyoming, we're thinking about you, and just hope that we can all get through this.
It really was a beautiful showing from all the teams. Had a lot of hearts and, you know, Wyoming things on your face. And when you sign up to be a green and gold person, when you sign up to be a CSU Ram, you never hope to put on the brown and yellow, and you really don't want to put on brown and yellow in support of something like this. So yeah, thoughts are with their families and those who have been affected by them. For CSU, though, Erin Dawson, I mean, that was kind of one of those situations where everyone knew that she was probably going to be competing and, you know, for the top spot in the podium for the events that she was. She ended up winning the championships for the 500 freestyle and the 400 individual medley, and then she was named the athlete of the tournament for the entire swim meet. You know, when you talk about pressure on athletes, that's a pressure cooker right there. You were supposed to win this event. You go out there and you win those two events. I mean, that's pretty impressive from Erin Dawson.
Yeah, it's always harder. It's just added pressure when the expectations are there. They're set, like everything on paper is saying for you to win it. It just makes it harder because in the back of your mind, that pressure starts going. You don't perform how you want to, and it doesn't go your way, and you might not get the results you want, whatever the case is. But to go in there, the expectations are high, and you meet those expectations. Great job.
Shout out to the swim and dive team. Third place in the Mountain West, and hopefully some NCAA qualifiers here over the next couple of weeks or so. Let's turn to the other team that brought home some real hardware. The men's and women's track and field team. And I feel like it's almost a given the way that this team has been built, developed, and coached by Coach Bedard. The women's side of things, they bring home hats and t-shirts, it seems like, every season.
Hey, back to back.
Team,
right?
Yeah, and the men's team decided to join the party, and we have two trophies coming home for CSU when it comes to track and field.
Yeah, and you just got to think, like, there's something in the water or something, because they must be feeding off of each other, and once you do that, when you're just around excellence, it just brings you up to a higher standard too, because your expectations are going into it are very high, and you're wanting to do your best, and you want to cheer on your teammates as well. And to see both programs do some work like that, that's special. Especially with there's so many good competitors out there from the different teams across the Mountain West, and you had a feeling with the women's side of it that they were going to win it. Just they've been dominating. We have.
Shocker, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that thing was wrapped up by the end of the day, too, pretty much. The men had to win a couple events on day three to kind of wrap the thing up. But it was very one-sided on the women's side.
And Maya Lesner, she outthrew herself again. She's done that, I think, three times since breaking the CSU record.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure
she is the best throwers in the nation. She's one of the she's top 10 in the entire world for throwing. I mean, it's ridiculous. And guess what? She goes to school at CSU. So how impressive is that? 16 all-conference members for the Mountain West all-conference team from the men's side. For the women, they have 10, Maya Lesner being one of them. Just an impressive day. 26 athletes from your squad are being honored by the conference.
I'm pretty sure CSU cleared the podium in the throwing department too.
I think I
could be wrong, but I know we had some of the top throwers on podium from CSU that were representing us.
Yeah, well, Maya Lesner and Gabby Morris are both going to be going to the NCAAs with their performances at the Mountain West tournament. So hopefully it's not just a Mountain West thing and Maya Lesner can go on and continue to build her own story the way that she has this season. And what a story it is for Maya Lesner.
I was watching her throw earlier today too when I was doing the RMR, and she made that throw. It seemed like that shot put was nothing. Like it was just like a inflatable mini basketball the way she threw it, because it just launched too. It's impressive.
And if you and I try to throw 8+ meters the way that they do, I think we're probably taking a couple of days off from the gym, not really doing much.
My shoulder out.
That's taking everything out of these two old dude. So shout out to the swim and dive and the track and field teams who have wrapped up their seasons with a very successful finish, and it's extremely successful if you're on the track and field side of things. Let's go to tennis here quickly before we talk about some of the bad with basketball. Tennis, their season's kind of rolling now. They had won 15, made it 16 straight home matches last weekend against Northern Arizona, and they came out and they lost their first home match in a couple of years and on Sunday. So a bit of a bummer for them, but they kind of shook up the lineup. Zara Lennon moved and played her first ever matches at Colorado State at the one courts for singles, went 1-1 on the weekend, had a real tough second day last weekend, but she played one singles, which is that's reserved for your best player in your team, and she got her first win and her first attempt on that court.
Well, and that's good too, especially late in the season to get those kind of reps. Yeah. As well, kind of build yourself up for the the postseason and all that kind of stuff. Shout out to this tennis club, because 16 in a row at home, that's impressive.
Yeah.
The only thing that really hurts is who you lost to,
right,
to end the streak. It was those Buffs.
Yeah. A top 60 team, by the way.
They are a good club up there. It just hurts, though.
Yeah.
But yeah.
The Rams, after the weekend, 1-1. They're 4-4 now, but they return home this weekend. They'll take on Grand Canyon, and that's no easy task either. This is another top 70 team. They're 62nd in the nation, and that's the team that the Rams will host this weekend.
Yeah, Grand Canyon, they're no slouch. They had a good, like, just as a school, they're no slouch in a lot of athletic departments. And they're one of those schools where it sounds like it's like a Phoenix Online Arizona University or something.
That's what
like,
it started as, man. I remember the commercials when they were that small. They used to be an online university when they just started. And this is a team that played in the NCAA tournament for the men's basketball last year. They were in March Madness. They came
and they played a good game. I think they played Gonzaga. I think
they made it interesting.
Yeah.
I was at that game.
It was in Denver. Yeah, that's right.
It was in Denver. Yeah, it was. So, I mean, this is a school that is growing, and now, their tennis program, number 62 in the nation, and we get to play host to them on Saturday.
Yeah, and that's here we go again. Now you're starting from zero for your home streak again, and you know that they're thirsty to get that going again. I expect them to come out pretty strong.
Yeah, well, it's been a up and down month for the women's basketball team. Let's start there when it comes to hoops, Austin. And they came off, their final game was against Air Force. It's a frustrating loss. We talked about that on our January recap. And they came out against San Diego State at home in a massive 82-50 win for CSU women's basketball.
That's the thing with this team. We'll get into some more of their games, but we'll lose some close ones or lose some by, a good amount. But then those games that we win, we look so impressive.
Yep.
It seemed to be clicking everywhere. And then there's some games where you just don't have the right things flowing. But when this team is playing at their best, they're one of the tougher teams in the conference.
Yeah, and it's frustrating. It really is if you're a CSU fan to watch that team, because they can put up 82 points in a game. That's not the first time they've put up 80. They've put up 90 before this season. So this is a team that has success offensively speaking, but at times it just doesn't click. But what we have seen in this month of February is the return of the three-guard lineup. Marta Lemony, Hannah Ronzik, and McKenna Hofschild all getting kind of – you got three primary ball handlers on the court. Gives you a lot of different looks, and we saw a lot of that over the last couple of weeks here in February too.
Yeah, the 2 games ago against Utah State, Hofschild and Lemony combined for, I think it was 24 of 32 shooting from the field.
Yeah.
50-plus points. Yeah, they were just crushing it. Lemony had her career high with 24. So, I mean, this is a team that can be dangerous, especially in women's basketball. You get a few guards running out there just shooting it from anywhere. That's going to be tough to beat, and that's a good recipe for March.
Yeah, well, and one thing that's kind of plagued this team in March, and even when they made that run a couple of years ago in the Mountain West Tournament, they played 4 straight games in 4 days, played UNLV in the championship game, and just didn't have enough gas to kind of close the thing out in the championship matchup. 2 years ago in the Mountain West Tournament was McKenna Hofschild was playing 40 minutes every single night down the stretch, really trying to get those wins. She's still playing 40 minutes. She played almost all 40 minutes the other day against Nevada, but it's a little different because she's not the ball handler every time. You can kind of get up to Marty. You can kind of give it up to Hannah and let them kind of run the offense, because that's not only going to help you this season, but that's your future. Those are your future guards right there that are going to be your primary ball handlers.
Exactly. And what we saw, yeah, the score was close with Nevada, but the good thing about it was that this team didn't rely on Hofschild. No. And it's always a great thing to have that. Like, we talked to Hofschild recently, and she loves dishing the ball out. She's okay with taking the backseat.
She checks the scoreboard to make sure she's doing her job as an assistant.
Not for points, not for the score.
She wants to make sure that people are getting involved.
Yeah. And when you can win games when she isn't your leading point scorer, that's huge for the CSU team, especially because once you get to March, it doesn't matter where you're getting your offense from. As long as you're getting it, that's the main thing. And that's what this team is doing right now, and that's a good sign.
Well, and when you look at your scoring and you look at the stories of March, look at the stories of champions in March, whether it's the women's or the men's side of the bracket, it's always the role players. It's always these guys. It's Ali Farouk-Menesh making big plays down the stretch right back years ago. It's the role players that make the big plays, because the big players are going to make the big plays, but it's what role players are going to step up and make the big plays when the big players can't, right? So that's a big depth piece that the Rams kind of lacked there in January with both Marty and Hannah out of the lineup. But yeah, you talked about that Utah State game, 90 points in that game. McKenna Hofschild, 31 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, and Marty Lemain adding 24 points on her end of things as well. And 54 points from your two guards, not a bad day at the office for CSU.
Yeah, and I don't know who we got to talk to make that Hofschild interview a regular thing, but talking to us, she dropped 31 and 5 and 5 and 5 and 5 and 5,
yeah,
whatever. And, I'm just saying, I don't know, maybe she needs to come on Ramblers or something.
Yeah, something.
Something, I don't know.
Something in the water here at KCSU. Well, the Rams did finish up their month of February with another win, a huge win. They were playing Nevada Wolfpack. The Wolfpack got on them early in the first meeting, kind of put them out of the game pretty early in that one. Not a great display from the Rams. So they came home, Education Day, 2,000-plus screaming grade school kids, and it's a fun environment.
Yeah, you had earplugs in that game.
I learned last year. I said, no, I don't need earplugs. I can withstand this, and I learned the hard way that I needed earplugs. Learned my lesson. Had them in yesterday for that game, but it was a fun game. Electric game, slow starting, low scoring, really. It was 27-22 at halftime, and the story of this game was that fourth quarter. 14-9 was the outscoring, and it was just all Rams in that fourth quarter.
I was about to bring that up, because I pointed that out on the RMR today too. 9 points. You're holding the team to 9 points in the fourth quarter. That's going to win you ball games.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when Nevada, they made that push to start out the game, but it doesn't matter how you start, it's how you finish. And that Rams team, they got together and finished that game out and got the W, despite Hofschild having only 7 points, her season low. You still got out there, got the dub, and that's a great team win, and that's a confidence booster, in my opinion, for this Rams team.
Yeah, the Rams outscored Nevada in all three of the final three quarters. 17-10 was the outscoring for Nevada in the first quarter, and then it was 12-10, 18-15, and then you just needed one final push in that fourth quarter. It's kind of like a lot of the men's games kind of go. You get the lead down to 5, and it made it kind of difficult, and you never kind of broke that. The fourth quarter, they broke that, and they pulled away with a 54-51 win. And like you said, McKenna Hofschild had her worst offensive output of the year, 7 points, just a couple assists on top of that. I believe it was 7 assists on her 7 points. So not a lot from her, but Hannah Ronzik had 15 points. All 5 of her made field goals were from the three-point line.
Yeah, and she was really opening it up too, and I think Caitlin Crocker had a decent game too. Yep. Put in the work, and when someone's shooting like that and getting all their points from the three-point line. That's big because it just opens up the court, because now they might have one, maybe two people closing out on her. It's going to open up the lane, get some cuts, get some easy buckets, and then you can really start to build some momentum with that.
Yeah, Crocker finished the day with 7 points, and that doesn't look like a lot, but those 7 points came consecutively. She scored three straight buckets, had a couple of and ones with it, and that was the turning point for this team. They got the energy going back in that building, and it kind of let the team take a breath. It felt like everyone was kind of nervous heading into that fourth quarter. It's like, oh, we're right there with them, but we just can't break through. And then Kylan Crocker goes on her 7-point run by herself, and that and one was really the game-changing play yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, anytime you get those big and ones or anything like that, it just changes up the momentum, and it gets the crowd back into it too. Like we saw with the men's game, the refs, they really were affecting the crowd involvement during that game. Right. But when you get some plays like that, it just gets the crowd into it, especially with these crazy elementary students. They just need some sort of energy. They don't need a lot. They just need something to spark it, because that energy is there, and it doesn't go away.
No, it's you know, the ram head in Moby is completely lit up the entirety of that game. So it's just two games remaining for the women's side of things. They have their final road game this weekend to kick off March on Saturday versus San Jose State. They'll play that one, and then they'll come home for what is going to be McKenna Hoffshield's final game in a Ram uniform at Moby Arena. And these are big games when it comes to seeding in the tournament. Right now, the Rams are just barely holding on to a bye. We're right there next to the bye, kind of straddling a couple of different teams. A couple of big games coming up for the women's side.
Yeah, and the biggest one is that last home game. It's the last time we will see McKenna Hoffshield in Moby Arena competing.
Yep.
And that is huge, because she's one of the greatest players to ever come through this school.
Any sport, yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, like, it's an honor to have shared the same air as her in the same room.
Yeah.
Like, she is a legend, dude.
She's going to go down.
And a great person, too.
Awesome. And she's going to go down as one of the greatest Rams of all time. She's going to, you know, be one that, the way we talk about Becky Hammon, none of us got to sit down in Moby Arena and watch Becky Hammon when she was here 20-some-odd years ago, but there's going to be kids talking about McKenna Hoffshield 20 years from now when it comes to her legacy as a Ram. Let's flip now quickly to the men's side of things, and this one's going to hurt, Austin. A couple of real tough losses as we stand right now at the end of February. 3-game losing streak, two of those on the road. They lost their first game of conference play in Moby this week to wrap up February. It was a heartbreaking loss against Nevada, but the month of February in general just wasn't very forgiving for the CSU Rams.
It wasn't, and like we were saying at the beginning of this pod, we were talking about how we knew coming into February this was going to be a tough month. It was going to be a real battle test too, and I wouldn't say it's been an absolute failure month, because we've competed in a lot of games, but there's been some frustrating losses. I'm just going to bring it up again. The most frustrating loss was the Wyoming game, but it's got some competition.
Yep.
Because of how we played against Nevada, how it went down at the end, which we'll get into. And what was the other one that was tough, too?
New Mexico.
Yeah, that one, too. So, I mean, there's just been some very tough losses, and it sucks that they keep piling up, because it hurts. And Nico Medved, he said it perfectly after the game. It was a gut punch.
Yep.
And those type of games are, because you do a lot of right things, and then you got to tip your cap when somebody makes a shot like that, even though it hurts.
It hurts a lot. Well, for February, some positives for the CSU men's basketball team. They got their first road win of conference play. They beat Fresno State to kick off their month. A game that you should have won. They did win. They did it the way they're supposed to. Then you come home and you have a big game against Boise. Boise beat you on the road earlier in the conference play.
And Boise was cooking at the time, too.
And they were playing really good basketball. Max Rice was just coming off of that 35-point game in the pit to upset New Mexico a couple of days prior. And then you came home and you really manhandled Boise State that entirety of the game, and the score just shows 13 points, but I mean, it never felt like it was a contest for Boise State that they were ever in it.
Yeah, and that game, there was never like a worry that the Rams were going to slip that one away. They did let some go, you know, that game against in San Diego State.
Yep.
But this one, it just felt like the Rams, they're just playing really good basketball. They're playing tough. They're flying around on defense, and they weren't letting anybody go off. They found Max Rice. They got into him. They got physical with him, and he did get hurt towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
Just, you know, stuff like that happens, but they really did play really good defense on Max Rice and just held them to get the victory.
Yeah, that one rolled into the Friday matchup with San Jose State, which was kind of a coming out party for Sean Memba. Led the team in scoring 13 points and really just kind of coasted. I know San Jose State's not one of the cream of the crop in terms of competition. They're bottom three in this league, but another good win at home by 19 points, and you controlled once again the entirety of that game, and you did it in Moby Arena.
Yeah, and that's a good one too, because we've been waiting for you know, some of these new faces to kind of give us something to be excited about. And out of all the new faces, Bemba has done that for us, I think. I think that is the one player on this roster that is a new face.
And you've seen him really grow. I think of any player on the court this year, you've seen him grow from that very raw potential talent to now you're seeing what that potential can be in the years coming. He's a freshman, an older freshman with some experience too. So a good option for the Rams going forward as we look forward to Isaiah Stevenless days and really a starting lineup that's going to be completely without all but Nick Clifford probably next year. So a big game for Rashawn Bemba. Well, let's get to some of the heartbreaks here. I know Utah State was a great game, but let's kind of fly past that because there's been a lot of heartbreak. The New Mexico game, you lost on a last second shot. You had a chance to tie it up or go for the win. Never got a shot off in that game, but that finish in New Mexico was pretty brutal.
Yeah, that one hurt because, I mean, really it just came down to those final plays. It was a good game. We got back into it. In New Mexico, they were battling too. They have a lot of really good talent, especially at the guard position. Jalen House, he was making some plays. Yep. And then that final play, was it Dent? Wasn't his name?
Yep.
Yeah, he took the ball in his hands, and I don't think we were really expecting him to have it in his hands. I think we were expecting House or Mashburn to take the ball in that final play, but
yeah.
it was a tough loss just because that one, we made plays to win the game, and then it just came down to getting one stop, and we couldn't get it.
Yeah, and that game came on the heels of the big Utah State game, but before that Utah State game was the San Diego State game, and that was a game where you put 11 points up in the second half. So this is kind of where the spiraling starts if you're a CSU fan. This is kind of where the concern starts coming when it comes to NCAA bids, and while you and I think are probably on the same page that we feel pretty confident this team will be playing in the NCAA tournament here in a couple of weeks, but I mean, that's kind of where it starts spiraling. It spirals a little bit more after the New Mexico game, and it gets kind of worse after the UNLV game, when another game you were right there the whole time, you just couldn't find a way to punch through and finish things off in the second half.
Yeah, and that's what's frustrating is, like, we've been in these games too. We're playing good basketball, but we're not playing good enough basketball. Yep. And I think that's where the frustration is, because you can't be upset about losing in the Pit or whatever, or, you know, losing on the road to a really good, young, scrappy UNLV team. But it's these games that you had them though. That's where it hurts.
Yep.
And who knows, like, you and I both feel like we're shoo-in for March, but it's not up to us.
No.
And we might be a little biased too. I don't know. But
well, and you get Mid Steelers too coming up in a couple of weeks of conference tournaments. It could get real messy if the Rams don't close this thing out strong.
Yeah, the going into March, your number one priority, win the Mountain West, because then you don't have to worry about anything.
Right.
And also, you win the Mountain West, you know what that tells me? You're playing really good basketball.
And you probably just won six straight games.
Exactly. And you're going to be rolling because there are so many good teams. It's a tough task, but I think that's just got to be our mindset.
Yeah.
Win out.
Absolutely. Well, let's get to the Nevada game a little bit in depth here just for a second. And that buzzer beater to wrap things up at the half court. You had everything, you know, you battled so hard all night to get back into it because you had a sluggish start, a rough start in the first half. And then you finally get back into it, and then they just rip your heart out with the half court shot.
Well, that's the thing. It was like 5 minutes in, and it was like five, or trying to get in within like 5 points or whatever. It was
big
a battle.
Month of March
and
coming.
Then awesome. In the last. Play,
we'll talk to you guys next.
You fall apart. And once we finally got there, Isaiah Stevens had a big bucket.
Yep.
Once you get there, you just get hit with one of the nastiest half-court heaves, and it just tears your heart out. It was a gut punch.
Absolutely brutal. Well, the Rams wrap up February with a tough loss, but they have a chance with two more games before the Mountain West tournament. They will host Wyoming, who has the worst loss on the Rams record this season. They'll get to host them for Senior Day to kick off their March. And they'll get a week off, and then they play at Air Force before heading to the Mountain West tournament.
I mean, this is our get-back game against Wyoming, and Air Force is no slouch.
Nope.
They've been playing some really good basketball, and they almost beat us in Mobile also.
They just beat New Mexico in the Pit last week.
Exactly.
Yeah. Big March. I'm excited for the March recap. Hopefully there will be plenty of positive to talk about when it comes to both these basketball teams. And who knows, maybe those will be playing if we get a little lucky. Well, that's it for the February recap. Big month of March coming. Austin Martin, Caleb Allen. We'll talk to you guys next month.